Thank you, Anna. I'll be the next presenter. My name is Lindsay Fabian. I'm a project coordinator in the Division of Epidemiology and Community Health at the University of Minnesota in the School of Public Health, and I have nothing to disclose. Here is the order in which I'll be talking today. I'll go through background and goals of our study, the methods and results, and then I'll talk a little bit about summarizing our main points and talking about future research. I think everybody knows here. If not, I'll go through a little bit of background. Secondhand smoke is a known cause of cancer, CVD, and acute conditions such as bronchitis and asthma attacks, especially in children. A recent Surgeon General's report that there are no safe levels of secondhand smoke or environmental tobacco smoke. And smoke-free environments are in a very effective way for reducing secondhand smoke to eliminate smoking in public places. Here's some background data, some trend data from the current population survey. Over a number of years, you can see how the trend over time looks like public support is increasing for smoke-free restaurants, as well as support increases with age, as older populations seem to be more supportive of smoke-free environments. This is specifically about smoke-free restaurants. Here's a chart with smoke-free bars. Again, support is a little bit lower than for restaurants, but again, the most recent data, 2001-2002, ranging from about 25% to 40% of adults support smoke-free bars. Now focusing specifically on young adults, more young adults are working in the hospitality industry, in bars and restaurants, and this is a environmental tobacco smoke is much greater in these locations than other workplaces. And also young adults are much more likely to frequent bars and restaurants than older populations. And we really don't know a whole lot about this group in terms of their support level for clean indoor air policies. This study is based on data from the Minnesota Adolescent Community Cohort, or the MAC project, which started in the year 2000. And our participants originally lived in Minnesota, over 4,000 of them, and then we had about 600 participants living in a number of other upper Midwest states to use as comparisons. We do telephone interviews every 6 months. We've completed 15 rounds of data collection. We're currently in our 17th round, and we have maintained a quite high response rate over time, keeping track of our participants. I'd like to give you a little bit more information about our sample. This is how the state of Minnesota was originally divided for our study into 129 geopolitical units, and the yellow areas here were the 60 areas that we selected and then sampled our participants from. Like I said before, we had over 4,000 participants from Minnesota, and then a number of other states we recruited participants to be our comparisons or control participants. North Dakota, South Dakota, Kansas, Missouri, and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Okay, the goals of the current study, I'll be presenting results on the support for restaurant and bar clean indoor air laws within this population of young adults. We're looking at differences across a number of personal and demographic characteristics, and then I'll present data on support levels and their change before and after Minnesota went smoke-free October 1st of 2007. Our sample for this study is a subset of the broader MAC study. For this study, we included participants living in Minnesota at both time points before and after we enacted our statewide ban and who completed our survey at both rounds. The data were collected in this range here. Our state went smoke-free in October of 2007, so we collected data before and then after. And this round of data collection had a 73% response rate. And so our final end for this study is a little over 2,600 youth aged 16 to 23. Here's a brief history of clean indoor air laws in Minnesota. Before our statewide ban, many cities had enacted local ordinances. A couple I'd like to point out are Minneapolis and St. Paul went smoke-free in March of 05 and March of 06, and Duluth in northern Minnesota was one of the first main cities in our state to go smoke-free in January of 2004. I'd also like to mention that our statewide ban was in all workplaces. That was the specific distinction, so not all public areas, just workplaces. The items from our telephone survey we used today were two different questions for our outcome variable. In bars and clubs, do you think smoking should be allowed in all areas, some areas, or not at all? And then the second question is about restaurants. Do you think in restaurants smoking should be allowed in all areas, some areas, or not at all? And here is our list of independent variables. I'll show you results on participants living with a local clean indoor air ban before our statewide ban versus our participants who lived without a local ban. Gender, age, we dichotomized for under 18 and 18 and over. Tobacco use is a yes or no variable on whether they used tobacco in the past 30 days. And number of friends who smoke. We also dichotomize that for zero friends or one or more friends who smoke. Our analysis plan, we looked at the relationship between support and a number of those items I showed in the previous slide by local ordinance. Again, so if people were living with or without a local ban before our statewide ban. And then I'll show you multivariate models on the change for support before and after our statewide law. Okay, on to our results. Our overall support for these venues before our statewide ban, our participants, 65% of them supported smoke-free restaurants and about 40% supported smoke-free bars in this young adult age group. And we analyzed support separately, like I said, for those living with and without a local clean indoor air ordinance. And here are the results from that. For smoke-free restaurants, those living with an ordinance supported smoke-free restaurants 71%, and those living without 63%. And that was a statistical difference. With smoke-free bars, again, more people living with a local ban were more supportive of smoke-free bars than those without that local ordinance. Here's a table, and I know it's a bit complicated. I'll highlight a couple of the cells here. This is for restaurants before our ban. You can see that gender is statistically significant with females across both categories, living with and without a local ban, far more supportive of smoke-free restaurants than men. That was slightly surprising for us. And then we would expect past 30-day smoking and number of friends who smoke to be significant, and it was with those who smoke and those who have friends who smoke. Those folks are less supportive of smoke-free restaurants. And age was not significant here. And this is a similar table, but for bars, again, gender was significant, with females being more supportive of smoke-free bars, both for those gals living with and without a local ordinance. And again, past 30-day smoking and number of friends who smoke were both statistically significant, with those who were smokers and who had friends who smoke were less supportive of smoke-free bars. Now I'll present some preliminary results over time before and after our state went smoke-free. On the left-hand side, you can see that the rates of support before our ban, the purple line for those not living with a local ban, and the blue line, those living with, and both groups increased their support after our statewide ban. They were both right around 57% supported smoke-free bars after our state went smoke-free. And these models are adjusted for age and gender, and they're statistically significant change, so that those living without a ban beforehand increased their support much more than those living with a local ban. And here's the same chart, but for restaurants, support is much higher for smoke-free restaurants than for bars. And here again, before and after, it was statistically significant and adjusted for age and gender. And here with smoke-free restaurants, actually those living without a local ban were slightly more supportive than those living with a ban after our state went smoke-free. So in summary, as I showed you, support seemed to be greater for restaurants than for bars, kind of across the board for all of our subgroups. And the support does differ by a number of personal and demographic characteristics. For everyone, it seemed like support, both for those living with and without a local ban prior to our statewide ban, increased their support, which is very promising. And those living without a local law increased at a higher rate of change than those living with a law before October of 2007. Some future research I'd just like to point out. We are planning to compare these findings to our participants who live in those comparison states I showed you with that map. And none of those comparison states went smoke-free during this time period, so we'll be able to use those participants as a comparison category. We're also planning to incorporate the Round 17 telephone survey, which is occurring right now, to add in those results to see if the support continues to increase more than a year after our state has gone smoke-free. I'd like to acknowledge our funders, NCI, and a local nonprofit in Minnesota, and my collaborators, the two PIs of the project, and a number of our other research staff. Thank you.